Blog Talk Radio.
Single.
You know they say bump it high, it's
up. Turn it up.
Some bad news over the weekend, but it is great sadness that I make this announcement. Bate has lost another valuable member. Safety officer, past president of Local 6, and a good friend to all, John Dos Santos, passed away after a brief hospital stay. John's wife, Fran, is asking for no flowers, no phone calls at this time. And I'll put out more information as I get it. So rest in peace, John. Hello? Is that you, Ryan? Hello? Ryan, you're on the air. Hello, Ryan?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. How you doing?
I don't know what the hell that was all about. My phone was being a piece of crap. I was sitting here talking to you and obviously wasn't going through.
Yeah?
So what
What's
all
up?
Happened, Phil?
Nah, not much, man. We lost a good friend over the weekend. He went in for some testing with his diabetes and stuff, and next thing you know, he's no longer with us.
Well, sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, when you go to the hospital, I thought they're supposed to help you, not kill you.
Well, that's why they say that they're practicing medicine. They don't know what the hell they're doing either. They're about as good as a weatherman half the time.
That's correct. So how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Still got this stupid-ass cough. Periodically, I'll get a pretty good when I'm talking, and then I'll sound like that chick in The Exorcist. But other than that, I'm doing good.
Yeah.
So... tried to get a hold of my buddy Keith. He's going to try to get in. He was in the middle of something, but he said he'll try to holler a little bit later if he has a chance.
Okay. So. No, you heard that rant, right, to Obama?
From the one you did last week or the one today?
No, the one that everybody keeps asking me to play. So let me get this out of the way, and I'll be right back.
Right on. That works.
Okay, hold on.
Listen to the government, the United States government. No, $14.6 trillion, D. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Ooh, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying theirs. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got... It's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking... I'm pissed the fuck. I can't...
Couldn't have said it better myself, huh?
Yeah, that's no shit. What's that guy's name?
Thelonious Monk.
Gotta write that shit down. Are you still getting over your cold too, or what? Coughing and hacking over there? You coughing and hacking?
Yeah, a little bit. I wish,
so what do you think your birthday present here a week ago?
Everything's good, man.
Yeah, all right. I want to make sure, you know, I told you I couldn't go drinking for you, but I'd do the other, so.
Well, okay. If it turned out okay, then
well,
I did a good.
You know, I kind of feel bad for you, because I don't know if she was getting over somebody else or just getting religious, but your name only came up once. Other than that, it was, oh, my God, no Jesus the whole time, so.
Yeah, okay. You're... Must have been that codeine you've been taking.
Well, it had to be. Well, you know, it's good shit, so what do you do?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like I just got this other thing in the other day. It came out on the 20th. But a federal judge in New York, he upheld the motorcycle checkpoints because he rejected the claims that the motorcyclists claims that their constitutional rights were violated by the New York State Highway Police. They stopped thousands of bikers and ticketed them. But the main focus was in 2008, they nailed everybody for everything, man.
Right.
They were going on a run, they stopped the whole pack, gave everybody tickets. So what he did was he distinguished the checkpoints from a general interest on crime control that could have amounted to unconstitutional seizures when there is no individualized suspicion of wrongdoing. I'm telling you guys, if they're doing it there, it's coming this way.
Yeah. And, you know, the shitty thing is, they'll do that. They'll set up motorcycle checkpoints. They'll do all that type of stuff. But if you're driving down the street and you think somebody is smuggling in illegals, you can't say shit because that's discrimination. And you're violating their rights for that bullshit.
Right.
So, yeah, our government's totally jacked up.
Yeah. How do we get a, you know, how do we fix it?
Well, in
exactly.
Ways you can't stay on the air without going to prison.
You can say whatever you want, man.
You know, it's one of them deals where back in the day they set up the Constitution, they had it all so that it could be adapted, it could be changed, it could, you know, keep up with the times. I mean, they were very open-minded and they put a lot of thought into that. So now they're coming along and they're not going to take away your guns, but you got to recycle all your brass now, which means anybody that reloads their own shit, they're screwed. Price of ammunition's going through the roof. So basically, in a roundabout way, they're taking your guns anyway.
Hey,
and it's going
to get
to the
point.
Where
you can find it. You can't find it anywhere. Nobody's got any.
Uh-uh. And it's getting ridiculous. So I forget where it's at in the Constitution, but there's some clause that the general population is supposed to be are supposed to have the same munitions made readily available to them as the government does so that we can keep them in check. But somehow along the lines, that's kind of been put to the back burner. And they're taking all our shit and getting everything set up in a way that anytime he decides to declare martial law and do whatever the hell he wants, we got a dictator on our hands. We can't do shit about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just like, you know, I wanted to... I don't think we're going to do the show Thursday because it's Thanksgiving, but I wanted to just take a minute to say thank you from the bottom of my heart and everybody else's hearts to all the troops out there who aren't going to have the opportunity to spend this Thanksgiving with their loved ones. And we, you know, and I appreciate what they're doing. I'm sure you do.
Absolutely. No, that's definitely a good point. A lot of us hanging out with family, enjoying that time, and they don't have that ability.
Right. You know, it's just getting worse by the day, man. Of course, they said they were going to bring them all home by the first of the year, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know?
But, you know, they've got that takeover Wall Street and all the other shit going on. That's just a smokescreen for something else that's going on in the background.
Yeah.
They've always got something, so we'll see what happens with it.
You know, and then I got this other, I'm looking for people that want to help the troops out. Got some stuff going on, and I'm just going to put that in the chat room right now. But it's a Facebook page for America's Warriors. So they want to send, they're looking, all you got to do is click on that link, it'll take you there, and they're looking for people to donate whatever you can, shaving cream, chapstick, toiletries, you know, all the essentials that it's hard to get.
Right. Now, are you sending that over with the USO, or is this a different group that's doing it?
No, it's a different group. And hang on a second, I'll tell you who it is.
Okay.
This guy's name is Brendan Kent. He's the founder and CEO of America's Warriors. I'll put that info up in there for... He's also from the Oregon chapter of the Patriot Riders.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, what it is that, you know, we've been sending boxes here and there, but everybody forgets the holidays, man, you know?
Yep.
Go ahead.
What's some of the main things that they're asking for that they're needing? You know, they've, you know, when they're overseas, I've never been in that position,
okay,
obviously, so I'm not sure what they, you know, what comforts of home that they want to have.
Well, you know the moist towelettes you get in the jar?
Mm-hmm.
Those always work good. Suntan lotion, SPF, whatever. Magazines, books, candy, toothbrush, shit like that. Stuff that's hard to get, man.
Right. Okay. I know sometimes they've got internet access, but not always. And then they can use Skype for talking to people, but that's about it.
Right.
So,
you know, and it's kind of crazy sometimes, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes I try and when I do this, I'm kind of typing and looking at everything at the same time. Usually when Bill's here, that's what helps me out. But
right, yeah, no worries. But trying to think of what other kind of stuff. I mean, a lot of this shit's not expensive. You can cruise over to Garp Brothers or any of them and pick up those little moist towelettes and a suntan lotion, all in little travel cases they can stick in their packs.
That's it. But, you know, it's kind of what you can find and what you can't find. But it's all like, you know, basically shit that if you were in the middle of the desert or a mountain, what would you miss the most, you know? You got to put yourself in their shoes.
Right.
And then, but going back to this thing in New York, man, they're, you know, they're just violating the shit out of everybody's rights.
Yeah, what's the latest that's happened over there? I haven't really had a chance to check out the news or anything tonight.
Well,
I just got back to the house and had to do a bunch of other crap.
Well, basically, in New York, they started doing motorcycle-only checkpoints.
Right.
So what it is it was that basically that the court said that they concluded the checkpoints were enacted to promote motorcycle safety, a manifest of public interest. They were effective in addressing this interest. And then any interference with individual liberties was not only minimal but also grossly outweighed the interest advanced. So it gave the cops appropriately limited discretion and was minimally intrusive. That's bullshit. Because they were detaining bikers for up to 45 minutes. Even after they got to the secondary inspection, they were cited for helmets, exhaust, license plates, vertical, all kinds of stupid shit, man.
Now, do they have the same type of a helmet law where the manufacturer of the helmet's the one that determines the specifications? Or do they have a broader helmet law out there?
Nah, everybody has the same one.
Is it pretty much the same?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a fucking nightmare, man. And I get pissed off about it too, so let me calm down. Let me bring in somebody else. Hold on a second. 650.
Yo.
How you doing? This is
excellent.
This is Philip, and I have Ryan on the phone.
How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Excellent.
Good deal.
So
yeah,
you are?
I'm Ryan, Colorado, KR Production.
No, 650, your name, please.
This is Bobby with Motorcycle Clubs Are Not Street Gangs in MMA of California.
How you doing, Bobby?
Excellent. So listen, just as a little precept on the issue at hand here. So this lawsuit, which was filed by AIM and NCOM, or the eight injured motorcyclists. The attorney name is Mitch Proner. Him and his legal team have been running that case for the better part of this year. It was initiated by, one motorcyclist in Upper State New York who brought the motorcycle-only checkpoints to AIM's attention and through additional investigation decided... Hello?
Uh-huh.
And decided to take this further to the next step and see if they can get it classified as a class action suit. So anyway, the background on this is back in November of 2006 in Syracuse, some kid was riding recklessly on a sport bike, getting chased by a state trooper. That sport bike then, was making turns. The trooper didn't, and his SUV flips, and the trooper died in that pursuit. After turning himself in the next day, the rider gets criminal charges against him, facing up to 20 years. State law enforcement then comes up with they called Operation 5060 in memory of a fallen trooper. 5060 was that trooper's badge number, and put together a grant application claiming a rapid increase in motorcycle fatalities, when in fact motorcycle fatalities actually decreased in 2006 from 194 to 164. So it goes on to identify alcohol and reckless driving as the major cases for motorcycle accidents. It also requested funding to establish 15 motorcycle checkpoints to coincide with known motorcycle events to check all motorcycles for safety violations, which had really nothing to do with alcohol or speed. Their solution had nothing to do with the problem. The funding, as you can imagine, included overtime for the officers. So this is sort of where, the rubber meets the road on part of this issue here. So during the legal discovery, it was disclosed that the first officer briefing for the checkpoints was, interestingly enough, held at Donaland up there near Syracuse. They set up cheat sheets with categories on them that had nothing to do really with safety, as I mentioned, operating without insurance. Rear plates must be illuminated, handlebars no higher than the operator's shoulder levels, and stuff along those lines. AIM files a lawsuit on behalf of all motorcycle riders in New York State. The fact that the checkpoints were scheduled only during motorcycle rallies where enough traffic was in place to make it worth their time. This was an infringement on their rights to peaceably assemble, so this is one of the major arguments there. The events themselves were assessed by law enforcement to determine the type of riders associated with it in a search beyond safety into criminal activity. This is very important to the case. Canine units were suggested to be brought in consideration and anticipation of the type of motorcycle operators that they could expect. So during the dispositions, law enforcement admitted to gang task force being there as well, claiming that troopers were there to check for safety items. And then the task force was there to do what they were supposed to do. It wasn't really the primary purpose of the stops, but they were there anyway. And to ensure that traffic didn't back up during those stops, officers had discretion to pull over whoever they wanted to and allow others to pass. You mentioned something about the helmets. Well, they talked about helmet violations, but they never, they had a difficult time explaining what the laws were when examined by, attorneys. Documents from one operation called Operation Black Widow for the Peace Bridge rally in Buffalo indicated that one of the leading participating law enforcement agencies was the U.S. Border Patrol, whose purpose was to look for cross-border criminal activity. And during that operation, no criminal violations were discovered, and the investigation was closed. But at other roadblocks positioned outside an event called Harley Rendezvous event, using New York State investigative units, gang, and oil theft units, based on officer discretions, officers indicated that they would, from a distance of 20 yards or more, determine which riders were mostly compliant and which ones required further inspection in a special holding inspection area. So, this is to say that, from a distance, law enforcement officers were able to determine, right, that you're wearing a compliant helmet or not, which is a bunch of bullshit. But when they were asked about experience with helmets, law enforcement claimed that that they were not following DOT state compliance laws, according to FMVS 218 docs, to determine compliance. So officers really had to check the inside of the helmets to really do that type of inspections.
Yeah, but I never take mine off, and I won't. I, even if they tell me, I refuse. I do not give up that right.
Yeah, I understand, but you know, that's you. Most people sort of caught off guard like that. You know, try to comply at least anyway. And this is where a lot of this stuff sort of came up. In continuing the story here, so when attorneys asked or gathered information from law enforcement, ticket statistics. Of the 1,000-plus tickets issued as part of the lawsuit, the majority of tickets, again, had nothing to do with safety. Law enforcement agencies did not collect, you know, any statistics on how many vehicles were being detained from the full inspections. And it also turns out that LEAs did not know how long these inspections took. So there were no set forms. They used different forms at different stops, no counts, no consistency. So, I mean, you know, when you sort of look at all the facts here, they, you know, weren't really putting together a case for themselves to shore up what they were trying to do here.
No.
At the Harley, Ron, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right, because, you know, none of them know what to do with those things, man.
Right.
They do them out here. There's one going to happen in Vegas. I think it's tomorrow night or Thursday night. They're going to do it downtown in Vegas. They're going to do a checkpoint. They're going to check everybody, including the motorcycle.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, this is what really this case was built on. So that Harley Rendezvous example I told you about, so out of the 250 bikes that they inspected there, only 110 got illegal helmets and zero illegal exhausts. At the Peace Bridge rally, they inspected 176 bikes, citing 61 illegal helmets and 70 illegal exhausts. Almost 50% of the bikes ticketed at the Peace Bridge had loud pipes, where, according to LE, zero pipes had that problem. At the Harley Rendezvous, an argument for selective enforcement. So later, again, it just comes back. They put all these the case for getting all this funding for this under auspices of safety, and none of the tickets they were writing up had anything to do with safety. Right, so this was the case that they're sort of billing on this. The thing about it is there's some pretty revealing constitutional issues here. So all roadway checkpoints where individuals are stopped, regardless of individual suspicion, constitute, you know, and this is what I get a lot from Dave and from Bolt as well, is constitutes a seizure under the Fourth Amendment, right?
Right. Right.
Constitutionality. The action depends on whether the action was reasonable. If the primary purpose of the checkpoint is to check for ordinary criminal activity rather than the immediate concern for highway safety, there is a presumption of unconstitutionality. Even if the primary purpose is highway safety, it still must be reasonable to pass constitutional scrutiny.
Even the fact that they didn't find any crime, you know, any crimes being committed or anybody going to do crimes, it doesn't mean that they weren't fishing for it, you know?
Well, yeah. And there's different ways that they determine, you know, passing constitutional scrutiny, right? So reasonableness, is determined by weight or the gravity of public concern, which the checkpoints serve, against the interference of the rider's liberty. So the question then is, how much is the concern versus the level of interference from personal liberty? So you need to look at the immediacy of the severity to determine the gravity of the public concern. So, you know, as an example, sobriety tests commonly pass constitutional scrutiny because, one, they are quick, and, two, once the threat is identified, law enforcement removes the threat off the road. So during the case of the, you know, motorcycle-only checkpoints, after lengthy investigation, infractions such as illegal helmets, loud pipes, bald tires, all that bullshit was written up, and then the riders were released. The threat to society in this case was not removed and not addressed immediately. And then number two, as far as practical alternatives are concerned, many safety items could be inspected once a year when it is time to renew, like inspection stickers up there, which they do up in New York State. on the severity of intrusion, motorcyclists and riders were put into these special inspection areas, right, for over 45 minutes at a pop.
Yeah.
You can also look at these where the stop generates both fear and surprise. So when the motorcyclist is just riding, seeing all these bikes pull over, it can generate both, right?
Yeah, and then and that's when accidents happen. So they can say, yeah, look, these guys can't ride.
Right. So, and then on the discretionary portion of law enforcement, so during a sobriety checkpoint, everybody gets pulled over. In this case, with the motorcycle-only checkpoints, they wave people through. Who gets waved through and who gets stopped and sits for more than 45 minutes at a pop, even though they were doing nothing wrong? That's another piece of the argument. And then we got to go back to the effectiveness of the program, where you have to meet the stated objectives or purposes of reducing motorcycle crashes and fatalities. And as I mentioned, Ellie has no statistics or has any idea on whether or not the program prevents crashes or save lives. So these are basically the key points there. And so getting back
to... It's just like the troopers were doing it, but they also had, police from other areas show up because, quote unquote, everybody wanted a piece of that pie. And they use safety to get it.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, after, hours and hours of disposition, thousands of pages of documents that were exchanged, then that AIM and legal team and Rich Proner got that certification or class certification alleging constitutional rights were unreasonably violated. They moved for a summary judgment indicating as a matter of law these checkpoints should be deemed unconstitutional. And so this has been going on for quite a while. But being that this case is still in, well, it's no longer in district court. They already ruled it. So that's where we sort of are here. The thing is that isn't mentioned here is that the judge, and does anybody recall whether that judge's name was mentioned in the article?
Yes, it was. It was Gary Sharp.
Gary, okay. So apparently... Justice Sharp has a history and a predisposition of ruling against motorcycle clubs.
Yeah.
Okay, this is just information that I got. Mitch Proner and that team thinks that they thought they were going to lose this case anyway in district court. So and they're prepared to take this to appellate and ultimately to the U.S. Supreme Court, where they're confident that they can, they'll get a ruling that will basically, affect motorcycle-only checkpoints across the land without all individual states, trying to create their own laws to restrict the funding and stuff. So that's where this is going. It was a big issue. We knew it was sort of coming, but that was just sort of the background I wanted to share on that.
Uh-huh. Well, I got a question for you. Bulldog wants to know what's considered an illegal helmet.
Ha! You probably should bring Dave on this call and have him go through that. I mean, you guys are the experts on that.
There is no such thing as an illegal helmet because nobody can tell me what a DOT-approved helmet is. It doesn't exist.
Right.
It doesn't exist. It's like there's a guy in San Diego. His name is Red Baron, and he got a ticket for not wearing a helmet. So what he did was he sent a letter to his mother. She certified his skull as the manufacturer. The judge, they couldn't prove that his mother didn't manufacture his skull, and he beat the ticket. He's one of the first founding members of Bolt.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was kind of funny because he took a picture of his head, turned that in with the letter from his mother. The district attorney couldn't prove that his mother didn't manufacture his skull. Away he went. I hope that answers your question there, Bulldog, but there is no such thing as a DOT-approved helmet. The next time you see a motorcycle cop sitting on his bike, 9 times out of 10 you're not going to see a DOT sticker on the back of it because they paint them and they drill a hole in them which the hole that they drill messes with the structural integrity of the helmet they're wearing. But they'll give you a ticket.
Well, if they try to write you off, you can always, you know, pull out your ace and ask them to recite FMBSS 218.
Don't even know what it is. I've done that. They don't even know. Can you tell me what that is? I said, yeah, it's a law you're trying to enforce that you know nothing about. So why are you trying to do this? No response. The silence you hear is the silence I get.
Ricketts.
As well as, you know, I could charge you under Penal Code 148 under the California statutes for obstruction during my investigation. At that point, stick your hands out and say, okay, am I under arrest? If not, I'm leaving. He says, no, you're not under arrest. Fine, I'm leaving. They don't catch you right away, and then when you're getting on your bike, they say, hey, wait, where are you going? I didn't tell you were done. No, you just asked me. I just asked you if I'm under arrest. You said no, so I'm leaving. Plain and simple. And if you have a problem, you can. Most of them out here, down here by me, have recorders in the car, and they're wearing the little recorder thing in their pocket. And the only reason I know that is because I subpoenaed it, and they sent me the original copy. And when I went to court, they didn't have their copy, and it got dismissed.
Well, the key to the whole discussion here and this ruling, right, is having these type of very selective form of checkpoints, specifically for, you know, as a matter of unconstitutionality, because basically, if it's not consistent across the board, they're not pulling everybody, or they're not treating everybody the same, and they're using that as a means to determine, you know, acts of criminality versus safety, then it's all bullshit, right?
Exactly. And
that's really the bottom line. And if it can be ruled at the U.S. Supreme Court, then as I mentioned, it'll affect all the states. As it is here in California, in January, we're trying to get Assembly Bill 1047 into the Senate Transportation Committee on the 9th of January to make sure that it's heard and hopefully pushed through committee this time. It wasn't, it was sort of passed on, it was passed over last year or this year or in this session. And we're really looking to get it in there because, again, usually the funding is granted to the local law enforcement agencies that request it. They're typically used on the weekends during a lot of rallies and, you know, other motorcycle events. Such as the ones that were positioned up in Upper New York State, they're typically positioned in nearby events that are advertised as such as Boca Runs and other charity events, and then they sort of sit and wait and allow various types of motorcycle enthusiasts to pass and pull others over, and once you're over, you know, they check for wants and warrants and then look for other, you know, bullshit reasons to detain you. And to your point, you know, for those that do not know their rights or don't know how to handle themselves in situations like that, sometimes, unfortunately, waive their right and allow interrogation by police. And, you know, it just gets ugly after that. So,
yeah. I got a caller from the East Coast, and I want to try and get around real quick, then we'll go back to this discussion, because there's another guy in Boston. I want to bring him on, too. So hold on, Pete. Hello, Alicia. Is that you?
Yeah, it's me. How are you?
We're doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Is Vince around?
You mean Mike?
I'm sorry, Mike, yeah.
Yes, he is.
I want to ask him a question. He told me, he started to tell me a good story today, and I wanted to find out the rest of it. But it has to do along the lines of what we're talking about, because this was an event. And he doesn't have to say the name of the club. He can just talk about what happened, like he was telling me earlier.
Okay, if that's I'm sorry, I have you on speakerphone, so I'll let him talk.
Okay, Mike, when I called you today and we were talking, you told me about that little pavilion thing you had and some club wanted to use it. Can you tell everybody what happened afterwards when you talked to the police?
Well, after the event, when, you know, the fact that they wasted, you know, God knows what in taxpayer dollars with SWAT and police command vehicles and so forth for up to, it was about a six-hour event, when I went to them and I had said, you know, no problems, was there? And they, you know, their response is no, but you never know. You know, they labeled them before the event even started. You know, they had undercover police in the crowd, and basically they were harassing them is what it came down to.
Mm-hmm. So when you asked them when they found anything, what did they tell you?
No, that they didn't find anything and there wasn't a problem.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, yeah, it's like we're saying, because you guys aren't that far from New York. You know, you could be next. But anything that starts on the East Coast definitely comes west, and anything on the West Coast definitely goes east. I mean, I understand that, you know, Washington did their motorcycle-only profiling bill with the police. They can't do it no more. But I heard some stories that are still going on.
Oh yeah, they listen. You know, if you're wearing a vest and you got a beard and a couple of tattoos, you're already labeled.
You don't have to be wearing a vest. You could be wearing a support shirt and still get the same hassle.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you know, they label you the minute they see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they actually, when they started the event that day, they were sitting there with warrants for people that they expected to show up. And they never showed up, and there was never a problem.
Right.
So, it's a shame.
Yeah. You got any questions for me or Bobby about this? Let me ask you, do you know what a dot-approved helmet is?
No. You know what, I've heard of it before, but I don't know what the actual terminology is.
There isn't one.
There isn't.
Certifications, on they can get back to the manufacturer.
Yeah, because we just bought one for our son, not just recently, because we got him a bike.
Yeah.
And it, you know, he was taking a safety course, and safety course stated that it had to be a dot-approved helmet.
Yeah. There is no such thing.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, there's no such thing.
I did not know.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you. I'll send you a link. You can read all about it.
Okay, thank you.
But, and then Alicia, since Sunday, has got 72-35 in hits.
Wow.
Wow.
Just for being, she's baby of the week.
I heard that. Thank you. I appreciate that again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
no worries. And then anything else you want to talk about?
Well, we just finished the photo shoot yesterday for the calendar. We were at it's a place in Warminster over in the East Coast. It's called Tricked Out. So I want to send a thank you to the guys that let us do the shoot there. Mike looked at the pictures already, and, you know, we got some pretty good pictures, so hopefully we can get that together by the 1st of December to get out there. Did you get the package of pictures that I sent?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
Yes, I did. I got to talk to the mailman because there was a hole in the envelope, so I want to know what he was trying to look for.
Uh-oh. Oh, I'm glad you got them.
And then, other than that, I don't know if Mike told you that a friend of mine is a photographer, and we got a bike here in the shop we can use in case it doesn't pan out. So I'll talk to you guys about that off the air. But I talked to Mike today. He knows. I don't know if he told you it or not.
Yeah, he told me a little bit about it. I appreciate
that.
Yeah. So is everybody gearing up for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, basically, I'm pumping the vets and pumping out stuff for the vets because I don't think any vets should spend Thanksgiving alone. And then we got another thing going. I put it up in the chat room. But what I want to do is putting out the word to send care packages for the holidays.
Oh, that's a good idea. Are you going to the Veterans Hospital on Thanksgiving then?
Well, we're going down to Brother Benno's, and we're going to talk to the guys that all the vets that are living on the street and see what we can help them guys out with for Thanksgiving because they'll get the meal over there. So probably do an hour or two outside and then a few hours inside.
Oh, that's great.
We should do a simultaneous East Coast, West Coast benefit for these guys where we can raise some money to try and help these guys out. I'm sure we can talk about it later on, but, we have several facilities that we can hold it in here on the East Coast.
The other thing I'm looking for is wheelchairs because it takes 9 months to a year for a vet to get a wheelchair. And if whatever kind of wheelchair it is, if you send me an email, we'll see if make arrangements to get it picked up wherever it is. But
right.
If it's also a motorized one or a regular wheelchair, a hand drive, we get them refurbished and then they get handed out at the VAs.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll certainly post something on our sites to try and help you out.
Okay. Appreciate that.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah. And then check with me Thursday, and we'll see how many hits you got the rest of the week.
And okay, you guys on the air Thursday?
I'm not sure yet. I got to talk to Bill.
Okay.
Maybe not. I don't think so, but I'll find out. Everybody will know. I'll send everybody a message. Anybody that listens or signs up in the chat room, everybody gets a message.
Okay, great.
Like right now, we've got 49,911 listening. 49,911
wow.
People. That's worldwide, so.
That's great. What's the most you've ever gotten in one show?
172. We had, well, it was like for a month and a half, we had a lady on from Florida who talked about kids getting molested and stuff and some stuff that happened to her daughter.
Right.
And that one that's the highest rated show we ever had so far.
Wow. Yeah, it's a shame it had to be that topic, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. Sometimes people don't know what actually goes on unless it happens to you because everybody says, it doesn't happen to me. It happens to the other guy.
Right. Well, probably because it's such a dirty subject to begin with that, you know, people don't want to think that it does happen, but unfortunately it does.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And then if you guys want to hang on a minute, I got another caller. This one's, I think this guy's from Washington, but he called me. He was out of the country, and I guess they got thrown out of the country they were in. So I want to bring him on. You guys might want to listen to this. If I lose you, I thank you for calling in, and I'll send you a message about Thursday.
Okay, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Okay, and then if you guys want to ask, anybody wants to ask this gentleman any questions, we'll go from there.
Okay.
Hello, 971.
Hey, yeah, how you doing? This is Taffy Mike.
How you doing, man?
All right. I'm not near a computer, but I seen you have your phone number for this thing, so I called you in there. We're back safe and sound now, all of us.
Okay. Yeah, you guys got a lot of noise in the background, so everybody just kind of like take a deep breath and relax for a minute, because I don't want to lose you guys, and I want people to hear what you got to say about what happened, and we get the background noise, it kind of drowns you out. Cell phones kind of pick up everything in the room.
Find somewhere where there's nothing to do, no noise in the background. Well, is that any better?
Yeah, that's a lot better. And then I'm going to bring in one more guy. Hello, Pete.
Yo.
Hey, Pete.
What's up, man?
Nothing. Listen to what happened to this guy. The gentleman from 971, I'm sorry, could you say your name again, please? I couldn't hear it with the background noise.
I'm Tattoo Mike out of Salem, Oregon.
Okay. Calling in, Mike. And
right.
You can start telling your story. Anybody wants to ask any questions when you're done, I'll turn them over to you.
Yeah, me and a few of my friends went to Stavanger, Norway. We landed in Stavanger, Norway on the plane, and we went to customs. Right when we're at customs, they came in, the immigration police told us we were under arrest. I asked them why. They said, we don't want you in our country. And they took us to a solitary confinement for 60 hours of bread and water before they let us go. Never let us call home or nothing like that. Just told us to get out of here with no explanation. Escorted us home all the way, special tickets and Con Air type stuff, you know. But just no explanation, man. All we were is Americans with no criminal background. And, you know, some of us were veterans of the, you know, Navy and Army and stuff like that. But that's about it in a nutshell.
It's crazy.
So they gave you no answers at all, and why?
No answers at all. They said we're undesirable, but there's no reasoning for it. There's a paper that we got for the pilot instructions that we're able to get, and it said that we were being deported for lack of residency permit, and all we were is tourists. You know, and I've been there before, and no one's ever said anything at all.
Uh-huh.
They also got, I'm a member of a motorcycle club, and they got six of us, and they also got some of our guys from another country, from Australia, and they were planning ahead to get all of us that were coming in to visit these friends of ours.
Yeah, it's kind of rough over there in Norway right now.
Seems that way.
Basically, Australia's leading the way, and then Canada's following second, and then Europe's taking over with the third. The only thing that stops them from doing it to us in the United States is we have the Bill of Rights.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't
they're
care
trying
about
to come
any kind of rights
well,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
There's an article on it on salem-news.com that tells the whole story.
Salem-news.com,
yeah.
Salem-news.
That's right. Tim King is the one who wrote the article.
Anybody got any questions for Tattoo Mike?
Wow, that's pretty
good.
Yeah.
Tattoo Mike, this is Bobby. So, did you say you were in a motorcycle club, and that members of your motorcycle?
One.
I'm sorry.
Say again. Yeah, I am presently in a motorcycle club. Yeah.
Okay, and that you were informed that they were also looking at other of your brothers entering the company in and around the same time.
After the fact, we learned that, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. While we were in jail, they were next to us, in the cell next to us with our Australian brothers.
Yeah, interesting. Because I'm aware here in the United States of a Office of Homeland Security judicial order that affects the bigger dominant clubs in this country that elevates them to, you know, terrorist. Well, they're considered terrorist organizations, terrorist enterprises, right? And they're elevated. I'm not going to name, you know, who these clubs are, but, you know, they basically elevated them to the status of like the mafia and the, you know, the Chinese Tongs and everything else. And the thing about that is under these judicial orders, which affects travel, prevents them from traveling to and fro the countries where their other chapters are. So I don't know if there's really any reciprocity here between the Office of Homeland Security U.S. and some of these other countries, but it is creating a lot of havoc for members of dominant clubs to travel.
The lawyers in Norway are saying that it's never been tried in Norwegian courts before yet. And a couple of months ago, I read on the internet that another club had about 20 of their members go through the same thing.
Yes,
yeah, the interesting The interesting thing is, and I don't know if we discussed this already on the show, Phil, but they recently released, the FBI recently released, again, the gang assessment
right.
for 2011, right, which basically, you know, changes or alters, solidifies the definitions around what they deem as gangs, which could pretty much be anybody. So I don't know if there's any connection here. But it just seems to me that, you know, if you're in a club and, you know, they're stopping the movement of clubs between countries, that it's just not a coincidence.
No, it's just like what's going on in New Zealand. Some people showed up in New Zealand, over 100 guys, and they split up, but they followed, when they split up, they followed them everywhere. And, they just ruined their whole... And they were there for an anniversary party, and they just ruined the whole thing. They ended up giving 61 citations out and 4 DUIs.
Wow.
Yeah, it's getting worse all the time. Just a new tactic, you know what I mean? Well, I've been there, this is my fourth year going there to Norway, and everything's been fine since every time. So it's a new tactic they're using this year anyway.
Yeah, and this the situation with Office of Homeland Security is relatively new too. It's only probably the last 6 months or so. That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
Did they happen to did they take your mobile phones, or did they take any laptops and everything and take those away and interrogate them or
immediately?
Lift?
That was their main concern was the mobile phones right off the bat.
See,
they downloaded them, huh?
Yeah, they probably. They take under this arrangement with Office of Homeland Security with members of clubs, they immediately take their mobile phones and laptops and take all information off of them.
Yeah, they didn't let me call home until an hour before I was leaving.
Shit.
Yeah.
No American consulate, nothing like that, you know. Then the lawyers, all they could say was these police here kind of tell me what to do. You know, he had no control. It seemed like it was the immigration police. They said they were just like our Homeland Security.
Who gave you the lawyer? They did?
Our club members in Norway got us the lawyer.
Okay.
But he didn't seem like he was too much of a lawyer to me, but I'm not, you know, I don't know how they work over there.
Well, you know,
if he was in America, he wouldn't be too much of one.
Yeah, well, you know, in Australia, there is no deposition. What they do is they just come out and read the charges, and you don't get to face the accuser or nothing. Whatever the cop says or writes down, that's what's said in court.
Yeah, they're pretty tough over there in Australia, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even in this country, how do you really go after like, right? The Office of Homeland Security, who do they answer to? They certainly don't seem to answer to Congress or anybody else for that matter. They have their own court system. They, you know, issue their own mandates without approval.
Yep.
And even if you get an immigration attorney, what are you going to do? Right. It's out of control.
Some of them don't even. I've ran into some. They don't even announce who they are. They're whoever they are, so high up. Our club rode to Sturgis this year, and we got rousted up right in front of Sturgis, about two blocks from Sturgis, by these cops that just went through everything we had and our old bike numbers and all everything, and they didn't even tell us who they were, you know, or what kind of agency they were or nothing. They were just serious guys in plain clothes that when we were cops, they had all the other town cops for backing them up.
Seems to be a pattern here.
Yeah. Getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, you know, if you heard us talking earlier about this thing in New York with the motorcycle checkpoints and stuff, it's just it's getting worse because whatever happens on the East Coast is going to happen here, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, because like in the U.S., we have what they call the color of law abuses. It is supposed to... You know, even though the judges, the prosecutors, and the police, they're given tremendous, I would say tremendous power by local, state, and federal. But they must, their authority, sometimes I think they supersede their authority because they think they're all God anyway, you know?
Well, there's a couple of emerging trends
the word out,
here, right?
You know, one of these days they're going to slip up enough to where they can't learn they can't do this. Or something. There's got to be enough of us to stand up and keep fighting them instead of just stopping, you know?
Well, you know, like when I say color law, that means that a person is using the authority given to him or her by the state or the federal, you know, and they're using it. They're using it for any way they can. You know, there's like five broad areas. They use excessive force, sexual assault, false arrest and fabrication of evidence, which we all know they do that, the deprivation of property and the failure to keep you from harm. You know, because the 14th Amendment secures us the right to due process. The Eighth Amendment, it's supposed to prevent cruel and unusual punishment. But if you guys were locked up for, like, what did you say, 16 hours?
60.
60?
60, 6-0.
Wow.
And, it was not nice, but it wasn't nothing bad. A lot of people had a lot worse in life, but the problem was, you know, for no reason. No, we didn't create any problems, you know. What they did to us is not, you know, like I said, people done a lot worse. But the problem is that we don't know why, you know. We didn't do nothing wrong at all. No reason at all to not be able to move around freely in that country. We had money to spend in that country. We're tourists.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just like, thank you, Pete, for sending me the link. It's just like anything else that goes on, you know. I just put a thing up in the chat room for anybody. If you have a complaint, you can contact the state's attorney's office, but you got to give them all the information that they ask for.
All right. Yeah, well, we'll see what the lawyers end up doing. You know, we got an international lawyer checking into it, and we got a lawyer in Norway looking into it, seeing what's happening, and so we can secure it. That other club is doing the same thing. We're kind of learning from them along the way too, because they kind of help us know what we need to go do, because we see them doing it, you know.
Yeah.
But there's some kind of court order to make sure that when we go over there that we're not going to be arrested, you know. They didn't throw us out forever. They just threw us out for today. And they said we can come back, but we better call the embassy or whatever and secure it with the early immigration there in Norway and get a letter from them saying that that's the case.
Did you guys have reservations and stuff?
Yeah, yep.
We had plane
tickets back and everything. Dates, we had we're only going to be there 5 days.
Uh-huh. Can I put this story on the blog?
Yeah, you can feel free to put that story anywhere you like. And the more people see that, the more Americans will see that, the better, I think.
Okay, and then the picture that's on the right, can I put that in there too?
Yeah, the picture's fine.
Okay. Okay. I'll do that. It'll be up tonight.
Those are the guys.
Okay. And yeah, and if you get any updates or anything, we're on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then anything else you want to do, I gave you my email address. Send me the info and I'll post it for you as the case goes along.
All right, appreciate it, man. And you know, I just wanted to get the word out to as many people as we can. If this kind of thing's going on, it really shouldn't be. I'm not sure what we can do about it, but it really shouldn't be.
You're starting doing it right now because you just let everybody know in 38 countries that if you go somewhere, you got to check out what's going on before you get there and they throw you out.
All right, man. You guys have a good night. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling. You got some shit, Bob. Bobby. What do you think about that, Ryan?
Oh, I think that's a load of shit. 60 hours? I mean, they had them locked up in solitary for a week and a half? That's horse shit. With no reasons at all other than the fact that maybe they had their vest on or they knew they were affiliated?
That's crap.
Yep.
And with, you know, the fact that they can pull that kind of shit and nobody in our government steps up and says, hey, don't be treating our citizens that way. You know, where was the embassy when all this shit was going on, and where were our contacts that should have been taking care of their own?
Yeah, did they, I mean, I don't know, you know, I should have asked them, did they get a hold of the embassy, but I can get them back and talk to them.
Because, you know, it sounds like they pretty much nabbed them, took all their shit and locked them up without giving them the chance to make any phone calls or anything. And
yeah, he said what, an hour before they left, they were able to do it?
Yeah. You know, you would think in that situation, if they were in fact taken and it was a legal reason for taking them, the first thing that the people in the other country would have done was put them in touch with the embassy.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do, is put them in touch with their own people so you can decipher what the hell they're talking about?
Yeah, well, in the state of Michigan, they have those machines where you go, like you go to, they go to AT&T or Verizon or whatever, and you're buying a new phone,
mm-hmm.
and you want to save everything off the SIM card and then download it to your new phone, and they hook it up to that little box.
Right.
That's the same thing the cops were carrying in Michigan, and the ACLU stepped in and stopped it for a while, but I guess they started doing it again.
Yeah. I mean, talk about an invasion of privacy, going into your personal effects and taking all your shit. I don't see how that's allowed. Of course, it was in another country, so what their laws and regulations are, who knows, but.
Yeah, because like this stuff in New York, the Fourth Amendment states that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall be issued upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Exactly. Yep. And for them to, I mean, phones of all things. It goes back to the bikie laws in Australia that we were talking about a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Where they want to take all your personal media devices and take all your shit off of that too.
Yeah. California's trying to do something with that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I don't know if it passed the first time or not.
Mm-hmm.
What?
When California's got that bill, Bobby, where they were talking about they'd be able to download your phone if you get arrested?
Yeah, that was vetoed by Brown, so they can still do that.
Yeah. No, it's like that.
So basically, because originally, I mean, they can still interrogate your personal electronic devices when you're arrested. Unfortunately, you can't do anything about it there, but in this case, law enforcement can grab and interrogate your phone without a warrant and basically grab your numbers, look and see what it's out there. And I just can't believe that Brown didn't support that bill. That would have prevented that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a strange duck, that guy.
Hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of things that just befuddle the, you know, the average everyday person these days, right? How things can go the way they're going, and you know, from you don't have to look very far to see that people's rights are being stomped everywhere, on campuses and you know, in parks, and you know, of course, the poor have seen this for many, many years. It's only come to the forefront now with events like Occupy, where you see all this stuff being done to people on the streets. But, I mean, with the ongoing militarization of police, all of them sort of effectively moving into a federalized type of hierarchy, the formation of Office of Homeland Security, which I call the Death Star, basically continuing to grow and absorb additional law enforcement, federal law enforcement agencies, it's to be fucking scared, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I got pulled over by a Dodge Charger, black, all black, tinted windows. The only dead giveaway was that I seen the government plate when they pulled, you know, I thought something was loose or something, so I pulled over, and two guys got out. Wanted to know where I was going, what I was doing. at 4:30 in the morning. I said, I'm going to work.
So how do the laws work, Bobby? If you go to an international airport, do you have any rights from the country you're coming from, or as soon as you get off of that plane, you're stuck with the rights of that country?
You know, I'm not an expert at all, particularly the international side of it. I just know that certain motorcycle clubs, motorcycle clubs, have been basically labeled at as criminal street gangs many years ago, even way back, as far back as Ronald Reagan, have definitely been elevated up to terrorist enterprises by the U.S. government, and I mean basically treated as okay, you're a U.S. citizen. You know, they have to be let back into the country, but they don't have to let your brothers in or their brothers in from other chapters and other countries into this country, and vice versa. And I guess they can't prevent you from leaving the country, but if you're going to go to another country where there's intelligence sharing or reciprocity of information between United States, whether it's the gang task force, federal, with their agencies or foreign agencies there, you know, they're going to make it life very difficult. And, you know, again, I would have definitely have been trying to call the American consulate or the rake it hold of my ambassador as well. But it would have been really interesting to see what the U.S. government would have and could have done about it. That would have been a good acid test, quite honestly.
Yeah, because right now, you know, it's called the Convention on International Civil Aviation. So just like when they told the pilot to give him, they gave two pieces of paper to the pilot and said, do not give this to any unauthorized personnel. So when the guy who was on the phone, Mike, asked for a copy of it, they told him, well, you can't have these. And then when they got back to Seattle, they were checked by 6 different custom agents. And, they, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, when we go to Mexico, it's like, as soon as they hear you talk, you know, how long have you been in Mexico? It's overnight. Where'd you go? What'd you do?
Well, and this isn't just at the airport anymore, right? We talked about this last week, right? TSA, which is fastly becoming the Office of Homeland Security's, Gestapo. Tennessee's already been deployed, across the interstates there. And, just as you said, Phil, things that start off in one place tend to come and work its way across the country. You know,
yeah, it is. In this case, it's starting in the Midwest.
Right.
And
it's going to be deployed at all the stadiums across the country, the NFL. That's a fact. I just don't know when. And then,
nobody knows when.
If it comes across, to all the states, then it isn't just an issue at an airport and traveling to and from, domestic or international flights. It's going to be just fucking trying to go from, say, San Francisco to San Diego or L.A.,
The last time I looked, I'm a vet. I fought for this country, and I thought I earned the right to travel.
Yeah, so, you know, between checkpoints, TSA checkpoints, and federally funded, militarized, federally coordinated local and state police using grants to pull motorcyclists over, it's just, it's going to get a hell of a lot worse, and, you know.
Yeah, if you go on the Office of Traffic Safety, did you know John Del Santo?
You asking me?
Yeah, Bobby, did you know John Del Santo? You know of John Del Santo?
I've heard of him, but I don't know him too well or his work.
Yeah, he passed away Friday, but he was our guru. He went to the hospital for some diabetes stuff, and he ended up passing away over there.
Mm.
But, he was the guru. And he sent me a couple of things on that. that stuff that happened in Tennessee, and I couldn't believe what I was reading, man. They can just pull you over because your car looks not right to them.
So let me throw this out here. It
doesn't look right to them.
So,
at a
high level here, right, Office of Homeland Security is what? That's a cat, right? Is it not a department?
Right.
That the president controls?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what if, again, I mean, how do you combat something like that? So what if you get a president to office, God knows who, that, you know, is totally anti-Fed, bureaucracy, totally for the preservation of liberty and sees the Office of Homeland Security as sort of, an evil enterprise itself? I mean,
you know what that sounds like to me when Hoover was running the FBI? Get all the shit you can get on anybody and we'll hold on to it till we need it.
Well,
yeah.
what I'm throwing out here, is it that simple, getting a president into office who believes the Constitution, who has the power to do away with the Office of Homeland Security or control it better?
Really
the answer?
Yeah, but it's not the power, it's to have the balls to do it.
Well,
because, Red, to do that would be so politically incorrect, they'd probably impeach him and he'd be the first one they've ever thrown out of office. I take that back the second. Nixon had to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
We got Pete from Boston again. Let me see what he had a couple of questions. Hello, Pete.
Yo.
Hey, so what do you think about this? You had some questions?
No, I just wanted to tell you that probably by next week I'm going to have a special guest calling in. She's an actress.
Okay.
She was in, the movie The Crow with Brandon Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Asian girl, is a friend of mine, Bai Ling. I was going to have her call in like next week, Tuesday or Thursday. I'm going to ask her if she'll call in.
Since you finished all your classes and stuff, what do you think about this stuff you've heard in the last half hour?
What stuff are we talking about? With the bikers?
The guys that got thrown out of Norway going to a club event?
Yeah.
The Office of Homeland Security, TSA, pulling you over on a freeway because you don't look right?
Well, I know all about that. The police and the feds can take the helmet laws and the safety checkpoints and stick them up their ass, first of all. Second of all, it's going to be like that for the next, 1,000 years because until the wheels fall off. What happened to the motorcycle club, because I sent you the article, I read it again.
Yeah.
It didn't surprise me, but it certainly wasn't right. I mean, but I'm reading the article here again. I know that doesn't surprise me that they did that to them, but there was nothing right about what they did detaining them, But with all the shit going on, they pulled my friend was in a club, and he didn't have his colors on, but he was going back into Germany. He was from Germany. He came here to see his brothers, and he was going back into Germany. He was loaded with tattoos, and he had some German tattoos, Nazi tattoos, but they were under his clothes. And the German police grabbed him, pulled him into a back room. His tattoos were covered, but you could tell the guy was a biker, And they told him to, take your shirt off, take your pants off. And he had a swastika on his chest. And the Germans wouldn't let him back in Germany. And they also noticed he had motorcycle club tattoos on his body because he was in a 1% club. And they says, "You're out of here." And I says, "That's just wrong. You live in that country. You got out no problem. You go to go back in, they won't let you in." And they said, "We don't want you here. You're a Nazi sympathizer. You're an outlaw biker." And he got stuck here in the United States. He couldn't even go back to his family in Germany. They said, "No, you're not coming into this country with that shit." And this was on his skin. It's not like he had colors on, and they told him to take his colors off. I mean, these were tattoos they were going by, So I don't know. None of this shit surprises me, man. You know that. But that's pretty messed up.
Lately, none surprises me anymore.
If you see what the end of the article, it says, "Well, you can't have these." If you read that part of the article, that right there I can't believe that, man.
Right.
They made one revealing mistake.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, doesn't surprise me, man. Doesn't surprise me. You know, when I got arrested last February, why did it take five Mass State Police, state troopers and a German Shepherd to arrest me when I wasn't even fighting them? I wasn't, you know, I stepped out of my vehicle. They had guns on me. They had a dog on me. You know, come on. I'm one man. I'm not, you know, a monster. I'm 245 pounds. I'm short. I'm not really a normal-looking guy, but why the hell did it take five state troopers and a dog to arrest a man that wasn't even fighting me? You know, I didn't even, it's even in my arrest report. I did not fight the state police. I might have verbally said some things to them, but I did not physically fight them. You know, they all had guns in my head, and they had a dog fighting on me. You know, and then they ran the dog through my truck. They didn't find anything. So it's getting worse, it seems to me. It's getting worse against us, motorcycle clubs, bumper centers, you know, even Christian clubs like Gino's Club even gets harassed. It's getting worse, not just the United States, but everywhere. As you know, Australia is probably the worst right now. Canada, Germany, Russia. And, you know, it's going to get worse until it gets better. And we might not even see it get better, bro. We might be dead by then, you know. But with radio shows and TV shows and people speaking out and new laws being passed, we will stay strong. We have few but many, as my mother would say. We have few but many. And we will not let the police or the feds or the government take us down without a fight. We have to stand together, you know, and that's just that. And not just the United States. All countries need to stand together. You know, you used to have all the clubs fighting. All the motorcycle clubs would be fighting. Now they're starting to get along because they're not each other's enemy. It's the fucking police and the feds and the government that are again. And they always have been. But you used to see a lot of fighting going on with the clubs, and there still is. But now a lot of the clubs are getting along. Some are even patching over, you know, and they're standing up against the government. And that's what people need to do because, you know, there probably will come a day where they'll eventually say, hey, we're closing down Harley-Davidson. We're not going to make motorcycles anymore. Nobody's going to ride, you know, and then it's just communism all over again, man.
Well, in China right now, you can only ride on certain days. At a certain time of the day, you can't ride in the city. You know, a couple weeks ago, well, actually, October 22nd, I took my bike into Bill's shop, and I had Cody take it for a ride. I put a 27 tooth gear in, which turns my 5-speed into a 6-speed, and about the first 100 miles, you got to tighten up the tensioner. Where I'm going with this is I'm going to read you guys something about a cop. I got a copy of the report today, and it's a total fucking bullshit lie this guy wrote. But what happened was at 1,000 miles, you got to retighten the chain. I heard the noise when I got off the freeway, and I took it, and I had Cody jumped on the bike. He was gone. He wasn't gone 5 minutes. We get a call from another shop around the corner. He got hit by a guy in a car and made a right turn in front of him. Okay?
Oh,
so we jumped in the car and ran around the corner to get there. I get there and my bike's all messed up. There's gas pouring out of it because I just filled it up. So I walked over and I picked up a saddlebag that was laying in the gas. I moved it to the back of the bike. This guy wrote, when he got there, he wanted to know why I was tampering with a crime scene. I didn't know it was a crime scene. I thought it was an accident. Okay. Then he proceeds to ask me who I am. I tell him I own the bike. Cody's about 5'9", about 130 pounds wet, but he's all tatted up. But when we got there, from the knees down, both his legs were broken. He had one foot was hanging on by a thread. And all we were worried about was, I didn't care about the bike. He was, hey, man, I'm sorry. I didn't care about the bike. I wanted to get him to get the help he needed. But instead, this asshole, because I was wearing a Big House Crew support shirt, jumped on me, took my license, registration, and proof of insurance, put my registration and insurance in his pocket, walked 3 feet from me and called in wants and warrants instead of taking care of the kid on the ground. He wanted him. I guess he thought he scored the mother load. I don't know. I guess he thought I had maybe 20 pounds of dope in my saddlebag, and he wanted to look at my saddlebag, and I told him no without a warrant. We're not here for that. We're here for this accident. Well, you're tampering with my crime scene. I didn't know this was a crime scene. I thought it was an accident.
Crime scene.
So he goes on and on, and he says,
doesn't that just piss you off, man?
Yeah. He says he spoke with... Here's where it gets tricky, okay? The guy that was driving the car was going in to get an oil change. Now, there's a driveway 300 feet to the south of where this accident happened. Cody just turned the corner. He's about 100 yards from the 300 yards where the driveway is. The guy flies by the driveway. Cody's coming up behind him. They set it at I don't know what speed. It doesn't say what speed. Then you read all these things here, which says, our remark below, followed by an asterisk, should be explained in a narrative. Okay? So he's got cell phone handheld in use. Driver of car, okay? So the guy was on the phone. What had happened was the place he was going to was in the middle of the block, but there's a driveway on each end of that block in a parking lot. So he must have been on the phone with those guys, and they told him, you missed the driveway, turn in the next one. Well, Cody's coming up behind him. He said he saw the signal, and he turned right in front of him, and Cody went through the, basically hit the right front of the car. Now, they don't know how fast he was going, but the car, it broke the control arms off. It was a BMW. It broke the control arms off, the right front wheel. And to me, what broke it off was the side of my bike, the forward controls got locked in there, and his foot got locked in there. So it bent his foot to his shin, and all that in the back was all cut and open. So basically, all it was holding it was the front tendons and the skin. They were able to do surgery and everything, get him squared away. But this guy just wrote a whole bunch of bullshit here that I got to go down and I'm going to file a public service request and ask what this guy's credentials are and how he's conducts an accident scene, because my last name is in big capital letters. Now he says when he got there, he observed me picking up the downed motorcycle and moving from the actuality of rest post that collision, which was bullshit. The two fat guys, the cops, walked over and asked me, hey, we're going to get a couple of guys. Will you help us pick this bike up? And I walked over and I stood it straight up after the evidence tech took all the pictures and everything. But this guy wrote it that I messed up his crime scene because to me, the way I'm reading this, he didn't know how to do the fucking report. Then he says that I stated that there was gas leaking from the motorcycle. Yeah, it had a full tank, and the right side of the tank was flat from running on the concrete. So gas was leaking out the top, and the bike was still on. So the first thing the fat cop said to me was, how do you turn that off? I said, well, it's laying on the key side. Then that's when he asked me about picking it up. He says, wait, I'll get two or three more guys. And I stood the bike up by myself, which I asked him, you mean you guys don't know how to do this? So I said, watch. And I showed him how to pick it up by yourself. All you got to do is swing the front wheel and swing all the momentum the opposite direction, and the bike's easy to pick up. And then he's trying to say no other witnesses came forward or were identified at the time of the investigation because they all seen what he did to me. Nobody wanted to answer any questions because they didn't know if they were going to get run for wants and warrants. He called it in on me while I was standing 3 feet from him. I don't know. It's crazy. They get paid to lie. That's what I'm thinking. They get paid to lie.
Yeah, that's jacked up.
Yeah.
So the leg's back together and he's moving around again, or how's he doing?
He's going to have another probably 2-3 months of therapy and shit, and then it probably, they said, since he broke both his legs below the knee, both his ankles, he's going to have to learn how to do things, everything, learn how to walk all over and shit again. So he's probably looking at about 2-2.5 years.
Now, can he go back on that cop for any of that bullshit? For impeding whatever the hell you would call it, his getting to the hospital?
Yeah, well, what this guy said was he was passing on the right. But knowing Cody, the guy must have had the left turn signal on, and then when they told him he passed the driveway, he turned on the other one and just turned right in front of him.
Right.
I don't know what happened.
Well, I don't know.
Are you there now?
Yeah.
You're there now, Pete.
Oh, what the fuck? Whose phone is messed up? It must be mine. Sorry, I apologize.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Oh, was Gino on there and I wasn't or something?
Yeah.
You're all on there.
Oh, I was talking to you, but you weren't answering me. No.
No, I didn't even know you were talking. I didn't hear nothing.
That's my fault. I switched phones. I called into my cell phone, and I called from my house phone. Whatever. Anyway.
Right now, you guys, we've got Bobby from Northern California, Ryan from Colorado, and Gino and Pete from Boston.
Yeah, Colorado. Boy, that place is boring.
What's happening, Pete?
Good job. I had to leave the state.
Where was it?
Colorado.
Where?
Yeah, well, I'd rather be in Colorado than Massachusetts right now.
Yeah.
So you guys know right now we're...
Hey,
right now,
hey,
we
you
got
know what I love about
degrees.
Colorado? It snows down the street, and then its sunshine's melted the next day. And another thing that I really got, when the snow really gets deep, they don't plow and they don't do nothing. You got to hope you can get out of your house.
That's pretty much it.
When the hell were you in Colorado?
Colorado.
When the hell were you there?
Hey, wait. Let's not get off the topic here.
The topic is
that I just said police are paid to lie.
Oh, yeah.
Police always play to lie. Are you serious? That's the biggest thing. They tell stories. I've been in court many times, and I can tell you some of the things they lie. I couldn't get, they had me on a killing spree or something like that, and I didn't even do anything.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah, Pete, watch it. Don't go into anything in detail because you know who's listening.
Oh, geez, he's already went to jail for that.
I did a year. It's called negligent homicide from Connecticut.
No, they made it look like something that wasn't, basically, with him.
But they lie about it. It was, they try to create things that don't exist. And you know what? They'll pay two liars. They'll pay. People.
Yeah.
That's what we call snitches.
Hey, if somebody gives you $100,000, you know, either you got honor or you're a snitch. And that's what snitches do. They make money. They turn you in.
Yeah. So what brings you out of the woodwork today, Gino?
I'm with my Rose. And finally, you know, just sitting here and just looking at her pretty Sicilian face.
Yeah, a picture maybe.
My name is Linda.
That ain't Rose. You're so full of shit.
My name is
Linda. Hey, I don't want to get off topic here.
Yeah.
That's a character.
No, I understand where you're coming from. I have a lot of friends that have been accused of things, and, you know, and the newspapers are no help. The newspapers do the same thing. They do whatever the cop says.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty sad when we lose.
Fighting
when we lose.
Just send your court case.
Well, it's pretty sad when we lose some troops in which we lose daily. But the heading on the 11 o'clock news is biker did this or bikers did that. Instead of talking about the real story, why those guys got killed, because we're over where we shouldn't be.
Well, bikers is the first thing that they come after anyways, because, you know, when they create a lot of the crime, the reason why the police have to have bad guys, you know, and without the bad guys, they can't have a job. If the citizen knew, the so-called tax never knew how much crime is committed by the police department and not by I'm not talking about look at the people they let out of jail. There's one guy that was let out, he got three life sentences, they let him out, but a guy who smokes pot or does something that's non-violent, they won't let the guy out. They won't even give the guy a break.
No.
They let out the crazy people.
Pedophiles.
They let all the pedophiles.
You ever see the movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Benicio del Toro. They're going to Vegas, and there's a big sign there, and there's a picture. It says marijuana, 20 years. Possession of marijuana, 20 years. Distribution or sales, whatever, life. You know, there's a big sign, I guess. It's a real sign. It's in the movie. So possession of marijuana in Nevada, 20 years. If you sell it, life. But, yeah, you can go kill somebody in only 20 years. I don't get that.
Yeah.
My son did 10 to 12 for defending himself in a fight. The guy was a drug addict, and he killed himself 6 months after he testified against my son. But yet when the Spanish person killed another Spanish person, they only got 10 years. I don't get it, you know, how they distribute time. I'm not against the Spanish people killing each other. It's just that they only... 7 years. And they give my son 10 to 12 for just getting into a fight. When John Wayne used to get into fights, he was a hero. And then when I get into fights, it's going to jail. You know what I mean? John Wayne used to be a hero. I fought guys, five people. I thought about, you know, four or five guys at a time I used to get into fights. I'm going to my 70s, you know? So being as old as I am, I can't fight five or six guys no more. But I like to, boy. I like to get five in some bar and have a good time with them.
I don't know. I've seen that a couple times.
Well, you know, it's just like in Australia the other day. The minister, this is what she said. Muslims who want to live under Islamic Sharia law were told on Wednesday to get out of Australia as the government targeted radicals in a bid to head off potential terrorist attacks.
Yeah, can I ask you something? What
sure.
The hell has the Arabs ever done for this country?
Oh, here we go again.
At least the Jewish people wrote songs, God Bless America, and done something. And Spanish people have died for this country. What is the Arabs coming from another country? They killed their daughters for going out with a...
Didn't you talk about this on the last time show?
Huh?
No, you guys got cut off last time.
No, last week he brought up. Who cares about the Arabs? They're assholes. Come on.
I'm just saying, the Arab people done for this country. They join the service and shoot seven or eight people. They go into things. They kill their daughters for going with... a Christian, but yet we got to treat them because of our Constitution and the freedom of religion. We got to treat them like shit on. We got to treat them like they're golden. And the only thing golden about them, they should be pissed on. That's about the only.
Hey, listen, watch out. Your cousin Christine's listening to the show tonight. Be careful with the mouth here.
Oh,
or pissing on Arabs.
I didn't know Christine was on the show.
You're listening right now.
What I wanted to do was.
I'm just saying that I don't know what they've done for our country.
I feel bad for Phil at this point.
Then we got these crazy Americans who think that they got to be terrorists. Now, who the hell gave them the right or the stupidity of their minds to think that they can blow up this country and hurt their own people? Is there something wrong with the people out there or what?
Well, you never know, man.
Still the greatest country in the world. You know that, don't you?
It's all Nixon's fault.
Cops or liars or anything. Still the best country.
It's all Nixon's fault.
Who are we going to blame?
Nixon.
Oh, yeah, let's blame Nixon.
Canada.
Let's blame Canada, yeah.
Let's blame you.
All right, what I wanted to say to you guys was, I want to let you know that Thursday is Thanksgiving, and I got something I want you guys to hear. Let me get back to it here real quick.
Are we going to hear turkey scream for its life?
No, but seriously, this is
don't celebrate Thanksgiving with Jewish.
No,
we don't celebrate it.
Leave the Jews alone. My uncle's Jewish.
We're Jewish. We don't celebrate it.
I love Jewish people.
I don't.
They're the only ones with the money and smart. What do you think? May I?
Hey, let them play something for us.
All
right. I'm not gonna play a song. I wanna ask you guys about this. This is something I wanna touch on real quick. But out here in California, you guys have heard of Cam Pendleton, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened was these guys took a log up the hill outside of one of the camps on the northern side of the base. And they put a log, they got a bunch of guys together and they were telephone poles and they ran them up to the top of the hill. Okay? And they made a makeshift memorial up there with the poles. But nobody could see the poles because they were laying on the ground. So what they did was they built a cross. They put it up there. Well, we had a big fire over there and the cross burned up. So last Friday, they took a 13-foot cross to the top of that mountain. Okay? Actually, it was November 10th. And it was for the Marines who were fallen and wounded in combat. The original cross was carried up by 7 people, and 3 of those original 7 were killed in combat in Iraq. His chaplain, Radosky, he was the chaplain during the Battle of Fallujah. This lady, Mendoza, her husband was killed in combat, and Gross and Brooke also served in Iraq in the battle for Fallujah. But they put the cross on top. And what happened was, the atheists on the base, Marines, they challenged them putting that up there. Even though it was done, it's just like the cross in San Diego. For that. No, they want to know who sanctioned them to put the cross up there. I didn't know anybody could. It's just like out here in California, if there's an accident, you drive by, you see flowers on the side of the road, a couple of candles. And yeah, people go out and tend these things like a gravesite because that's where somebody got killed. So now all of a sudden these guys in the Marine Corps says they weren't ready for all the flap they got on this. Well, I didn't see why there's got to be any flap because everybody has something to believe in. And if those guys believe in putting that cross up there, that it's a memorial to those guys to keep their spirit alive, I'm all for it. Anybody got a comment on that?
I'm all for it, too.
Yeah, what's wrong? We have a Christian country, and we made a constitution to freedom of religion. Well, who are these people? You know, they should just keep their mouth shut and just get what they can, you know, like...
The Department of Defense has a policy that prohibits the military from endorsing any specific religion. Well, no, those guys, basically, if you've ever been in the military and you go to the chapel on the weekends, it could be a Protestant minister, it could be a Baptist minister, it could be whoever, but everybody's there just to get just to do their thing. So these guys are saying, well, who doled out the special privileges or is taking sides? I don't think anybody was taking sides. I think they just put the cross up to put those, you know, to remember those guys by. So
it's
now,
you know, and you should start learning to respect instead of start worrying about if it's hurting their feelings or not. That's the problem, you know. We have the right to put a cross up there, just like they have a right not to put a cross up there. And what
exactly.
They ought to do is keep their mouth shut and let it go.
Exactly.
Now, I don't understand the logic of this whole thing.
I don't either. That's what gets me. That's why I brought it up.
Gina, where are you right now?
I'm at Rose's house. I'm watching my show.
Oh.
Watching my TV show with Steve Crane. I took the belt off to show everybody I lost 40 pounds.
Well, what I wanted to do, you guys, is I want to thank Bobby for calling from Northern California. I want to thank Pete and Gino from calling from Boston, and I want to thank Ryan calling from Colorado, as well as the other callers that called in tonight. If I do a show Thursday, it's probably going to be maybe a half hour, 45 minutes, just to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And I appreciate you guys calling in. I'm going to take us out with a song. I just haven't figured out which one yet.
All right, man. Thanks for having us.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
I was just trying to kid around. Yeah, okay. None.
Oh, my God. All right. All right,
I'm going to
give them to everybody.
Hey, God,
I'm going to take us out with this one's by Mike P. It's called One Percenter.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Take off that dick or kick your ass all day. Man, fuck you and the fucking DA.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Phil. We'll see you later.
Bye, man.